open them to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want to read in verse 51 through 58. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now here's the text that we want to use. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We're living in a day in which that I'm afraid that many of us, that we feel like that we're not doing very much and not very much can be accomplished. But I tell you what we need to do is just what this verse of Scripture tells us. We need to be steadfast. We as men who have the Word of God and the responsibility to preach the Word of God. And so we want to admonish you. We want you to be encouraged in this, because I believe that it's a time in which that if we're ever going to stand, now's the day in which that we need to do it. We need to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It's our responsibility. And I believe that if we would direct this at any group of people or any in particular, I'd say to you and I as pastors that we need to realize that we must stand steadfast, because our congregations are going to follow us in the paths that we do. If we get up in the pulpit and we're discouraged, we're let down, and we're wishy-washy, our congregation's going to follow in the same way. And I see this about many times that are not standing. Most of them are talking about Protestants. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about men whom God has put in the ministry. We have a responsibility to stand as we'd never stood before. When the church once stood for truth, and many of them today are not standing, they're not steadfast in the work of God. And the word steadfast, I think of this. When I was in the Navy, there was a pier that we'd pull our ship in, and then there was something that they tied the rope across from the ship over to this thing, and they'd wrap it around here. And the only way that that could break loose, and I'm not a very good sailor as far as that part of it, but when they do this, they'd have to tear the whole pier loose. And that's what I believe that he's saying, that we need to stand today and be steadfast in the work of the Lord. And this means unmovable. It's firm. It's there. And we have the truth. We know the truth. And we need to stand on these things in the Word of God. Because the truth will be here. It'll be preached until Jesus Christ comes. Now, if we go away, if you go away, it's not going to change the things of the Lord one bit. Because His will is going to be accomplished. I think of Paul as he's writing to the church at Corinth, and he's encouraging these people to be steadfast. Be unmovable. Don't let anything shake you loose, but be anchored and be steadfast in these truths. You say they could stand steadfast there at Corinth, and they don't know what we're going through today. Let me tell you, all you have to do is go back and study just a little bit about what the church at Corinth, what they had. It was in the crossroad of most of the world at that particular time. Every religion would come in here. Every false doctrine, every false teaching, every manner of sin that you could see, you'd go to Corinth and you'd find it there. Aren't we facing the same thing today? It's no worse then. It's no worse now than it was then. And so he could say to them, stand steadfast. And we can say to you, it's the same word of God. And we need to stand fast today. We need to encourage you. And that's what we want to do. These people at Corinth, Paul writing to this, he says, you look at all of these things. We're going to die. We're going to be buried. There's going to be a resurrection. And this chapter talks about it. But while we're here, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Paul preached that this death, burial, and resurrection, there is a hope in being steadfast as a child of God. There's hope in us today because as we stand, when we stand before the Lord, God's going to reward us. God's going to bless us in these things. Now, back in the book of Psalms in chapter 51, and we'll not turn back there and read it, but in the 10th verse, David asked this, that I might have the right spirit within me. That comes from the same Hebrew word, kun, that's the same word, steadfast, be movable. And David is saying, let this spirit be in me. Let this steadfastness be in me. Let me be erect. Let people not question what we believe, but let us stand and preach and teach what we believe to the glory of God, and God will use it in the way that He sees fit. Amen. We don't have to take and look at it and say, well, if it doesn't go, it's my fault, it's your fault. But if we preach the Word of God, we're going to answer unto God for it, and He's going to bless us. And so He says, Amen. Be fixed, be sure, be confirmed in these things, and know these things, fast and firm. And be stable in all of the things, in all of the teaching of the Word of God. We today are in a place, have come to a place where I believe that it's as important as any time in the history of Christianity that we need to stand. Because in the last days, we know that the Bible teaches there's going to be false prophets, there's going to be false teachers, there's going to be a falling away, but God's going to have His people, and they're going to be in His church, because His church is going to be here whenever He comes back. Now, what's happening today, I believe we're seeing a lot of people that stand up and say, I believe this, I think we ought to do this, and I'll do it. But when it comes down to putting it into practice, they're not there. And it's hard to tell who's the child of God preaching the Word of God, and the ones that are imitation, they're fakes, they turn color just like a chameleon. You know what a chameleon is? It's something in the lizard family that you put it on a something brown and it kind of turns that color. Put it on something green and it turns that color. They're turncoat. Whatever you are, that's what I am. What you are, I am what you are. And so it is that there's a lot of them today that are standing and that back and forth situation.
Amen.
Many Christians are like that, or they're like a compass. You take a compass and you hold it in your hand, and I understand it'll go due north. But you put a magnet alongside of it, and that point will go wherever you move the magnet. And that's what a lot of people today, Amen. That they're doing. Now, I'm not here to argue or to fuss, but my admonition today or tonight will be to encourage you to stand, Amen. And not be like one that's towed around with a magnet, but that we might stand firm in the things of the Lord. People change their convictions for the crowd that they're in because they have no backbone to stand up for the things that need to be stood for, and they're not preaching the things of God. It's just whatever that people would want them to do. To be a true follower of Christ, we need to be steadfast. We need to be strong in our convictions. Now, there's been a time in my life that I didn't believe the things that I believe now. But it was because I'd not been taught. But as I've read these and I've been taught, and men of God, and I've sat in conferences like these conferences in various places, God has opened my mind and let me have these truths, and I'm thankful today that we have them there. And so if you don't have conviction and Scripture to back it up, I'd say get in the Scripture and let it be, thus saith the Lord, and that's why that I believe it. It's because it's the Word of God, and here's why that I believe it. Someone said if you want to be a good leader, to find out which way the people are going and then jump in front of them and they'll follow you. Now that's the attitude that a lot of people have. But that's just what I'm afraid is happening to many of our Baptist people today. They're trying to find out which way that the crowd's going, and I want to jump in and I'm going to follow in that direction. I want to read in Psalms chapter 57 in verses 1 through 7. He says this, "Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wing will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and shall save from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They shall prepare a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst thereof. They are fallen themselves. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. And I will sing and give praise." I believe when we see what he's talking about here, that he's steadfast. There's all kinds of trials. There's all kinds of things that are put before it. There's traps and everything that they can do to bring us down. And they'll talk to you and they'll try to encourage you. Don't you believe what your preacher's saying? Don't you listen to the truth of God's word? You come and follow us because we'll have something that you don't get in that church. You don't have things for the young people. You don't have things for the older people. You don't have things for the younger people. We have everything that they need. It's right here in the Word of God. And so they'll try to entice you away, members of the churches. We need to stand. And the psalmist says, "I'm fixed on the Lord. I'm fixed on the Lord. Don't have anything at all to worry about." And so when our heart is steadfast, and that word fixed there is the same Greek or Hebrew word, K-O-O-N, koon. And it means that it's grounded, it's steady, it's not going to be turned away. And he can sing and he can rejoice even in the times of trouble. And we can do this today. Also in the Psalms 108. We read the same, practically the same thing. Psalms 108, and in the first verse, he says, "O God, my heart is fixed, and I will sing and give praise even with my glory." I praise the Lord in this. Pastors, we get down. We get discouraged. And our people can tell it, I believe, when they know that we're discouraged. We need to remember where we stand and who our strength is in and who has fixed us and put us in the position that we're in today. And remember that as we preach, as we teach, it's God doing the work in us and through us because he's the one that put us in the ministry. And if he didn't put you in the ministry, you have no business being there. We need to do it. And if you can get out of it, I've told a lot of younger preachers through the years, if you can get out of it, then get out of it. You had no business being there and the Lord hadn't put you there. That's right. I believe that. And I'd have quit a lot of times if I could have, but God wouldn't let me do it. And so you can rejoice when you're settled, when you're fixed, when you're secure in the Lord. He's not turning from God. He realized that the trouble is soon going to be over. It's not here forever. It's not going to last forever. The troubles will be over. And those that are opposing us, those that do not preach, those who do not teach the truth of God's word, they will fall. If they don't fall, we may fall. But if we fall, our strength is still in the Lord, and God is through with us, and he's taking us on home to be with him. And if I understand what Paul's talking about when he says to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord, and he said when we get there, it's going to be far better. And I believe that it is. And so I want to be steadfast while I'm here. I want to serve the Lord. I want to do what he wants me to do. And then if he takes me right in the midst of the battle, that's all right too. Amen. Because I'm here, and if I do what he tells me to do, then I have no apology to make. We're fixed, and we're not like what the drug world's talking about, having a fix or getting a fix, but we're settled, we're anchored. When they get a fix, they're crazy. Yeah. They don't know what's going on. But you and I know what's going on. We get on a high. We get lifted up because the Holy Spirit of God has blessed us. And every time that I go from this conference, I'm lifted up, Brother Titus. I'm blessed. And I say, well, why do we have to go home? But you know, we've got some folks back home in Nicholasville, Kentucky that need to be preached to. And I need to go back on fire and preach to them and encourage them, lift them up and say, let's go to the conference next year. Oh, what a blessing it would be if we could have had all of our congregation to come and be here. We're anchored, we're steadfast, we're firm in the things of the Lord. And so we're not turned about with every wind of doctrine. We're settled in the things that we know and we believe. Now, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse 14, these people who are tossed about, Paul says like this, that they're like children. They're like little children. They don't know what to do. And you can talk a little child into doing most anything. But if that child has been trained and been taught the thing that they need to do and will put it into practice, they're not going to be turned about with every wind of doctrine. They're not going to be changing their mind and their opinion. But when it's settled in their mind, it's there and it'll stay and it'll grow up. That child will. And that thing that you've taught them, you've trained them in, it's going to be there through the years because God has put it in there by His Holy Spirit and He's used you and I to teach these boys and girls as they're coming up. And I say this about half the time when I preach, when I talk about teachers. A lot of churches, they say, we want our best teachers for our men and women. You know, I think we've got the horse before the cart. We need to have our best teachers in our little children. You know why we need it? Because their minds are being molded. And the things that we teach them, if it's truth, it's going to stay there and you can't erase it. But if you give them error and somebody comes along later and teaches them truth, they've got to take the error out and then put the truth in. And so why not give them the truth when you begin? That's what we need to do. And so we need to recognize that the little children sometimes that are tossed to and fro is because they've not been trained. And we need to train them. And then we, as pastors, let us be encouraged to preach the message that God has given us. And I want to turn over to the book of Amos in the 7th chapter. And I want to read verse 10 through 17. You've heard it. You know it. And yet I want you to see how I believe this fits in. It says, "And Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel," this is in the 7th chapter of Amos and the 10th verse, he says, "had conspired against this in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die of the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. And Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not against any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, it is the king's court." Now here's what I want you to see. "Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me, and I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people. Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, Prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughter shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land." I believe what he's saying is, you don't want to hear what I have to say. But God gave me the message. God sent me. He took me out of the following of the sheep and the sycamore gathers, and he gave me a message and said, go tell it.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm doing. I'm going to tell it. You say, you don't want to hear it. Well, let me tell you, the lost world doesn't want to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. False teachers, false doctrine that they're teaching, they don't want to hear the truth of God's word. And so, should we throw up our hands? We need to be steadfast. unmovable in the things of the Lord, because our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And then also in our text chapter, when in the 15th chapter there of 1 Corinthians, we find that Paul writing this, and here's what he says in the third verse. He says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture." You say, you don't believe that? You know, I can't do anything about it. But I tell you that this is what has been delivered to me, and this is what I'm depending upon, what Christ has done for my salvation.
Amen.
So I'm just going to preach it. I'm going to teach it. I'm going to tell it. And even though that they didn't like it, he's still going to preach and teach the Word of God. That which I've received. And if we've received it of the Holy Spirit out of the Word of God, we're not going to change it. That's what we need to do. In the book of Galatians, we find there in the first chapter, Paul wrote to the churches of Galatia, and he made these statements in verse 6 through 9. He says this, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that calleth you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And I say, and I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed." Paul did not change his message because the people didn't believe it, and they turned away to Judaizers teaching them that you've got to become a Jew before you can become a Christian. And there's people in the world today who are teaching things contrary than the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. He preached the truth unto them, and they seemingly at the first, and I suppose they did, they received it. But he says there will be somebody who will come along and tell you that's not so. Don't you believe it. Let them be accursed. And so that's what we need to do. They were not steadfast. They were what a lot of times we call wishy-washy. Believe this and believe that. And I tell you, as a pastor, it's not easy to fight against things like this. When you have somebody who has just recently received Christ as Savior, He saved their soul, and they've come and presented themselves before the church and asked for baptism under the authority of the church. And somebody comes along and said, "No, that's not the way it is. You've got to be baptized in order to be saved. You're not saved yet." That's a lie. And I'd like to just, you know, do something to them physically, but the battle's the Lord's, and He's going to take care of them. And we teach the Word of God to them anew, afresh, and give them the Word of God. The message hasn't changed today. We preach what they preached from the Word of God. We have that responsibility yet today. In the book of Colossians chapter 2, in verses 4 through 7, we read these words. He says, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." Oh, come follow us. Come join us. We've got something going. "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your orders and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." I know that you're going to stay in. I can go away in a revival meeting, and I can come back home, and I know that whom I've called and asked to come and preach, they're going to preach the same thing that I do. They're going to preach the same gospel that I preach. And when I do this and I come and back to the people, I know they're going to be steadfast if I've taught them and trained them and God has opened their heart and able to receive it. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and builded up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." So let's teach them. Let's give them the Word of God. Paul encourages them to continue in the steadfast of their faith. Rooted, grounded, and it's hard to pull out. It won't come out. And then also in the book of James chapter 1 and verses 6 through 8, we read these words. Hebrews or James 1 and verse 6 through 8. He says, but let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And these people that can turn here, these people can turn here. The congregation, the preachers that can turn and move back and forth, let me say that these people are not going to receive anything. But it's those that are able to go to the Lord, knowing that He does hear and that He will answer. He'll do it in His own time. And so we rejoice in this. And we need to be just as narrow as the Word of God is narrow. We need that. And then as we look at this, there's those that want to water down. And the purpose in watering down is to break you down and then completely destroy you. The other day I was out in my yard cutting out some dandelions, and there was two well-dressed young men came up. And, how do you do, sir? And I said, hello, just as polite as I knew how. And they came over and they said, I'm Elder so-and-so, and this is Elder so-and-so. And I look and I said, I'm Elder Robert Ginn, pastor of the Logan Baptist Church. What can I do for you? Well, we wanted to come to you and talk to you about the Lord Jesus. And I saw what he had. It was a Book of Mormon. I said, I've got one of those books in my house. One fella that I visited one time and witnessed to, he gave me one. He said, well, what'd you think of it? I said, I didn't even read it. You didn't read it. Well, we've got some things that we'd like to explain to you. I said, explain to me the Lord Jesus Christ. There's enough in the King James translation. That's all we need. Oh, we've got another book that was written back in 660 something there and told me who wrote it. And I said, well, my Bible said we're not to add anything to or not to take anything away. And I began to give him some other scriptures and talk to him. And it wasn't long till they was back in, and when they got to the street, well, I let them go. I didn't try to detain them any longer. But I didn't invite them into my house. I didn't. And you don't need to either. If they bring any other doctrine, don't have anything to do with them. And when they go away, don't bid them Godspeed. They say, well, Lord bless you. Well, I didn't say Lord bless you. They didn't even leave a calling card. They didn't. I don't know where to get in touch. But he said, if you ever change your mind, want us to show you something. I said, I've been studying the Word for 42, 43 years as pastor. And I said, I don't believe that there'd ever be any need, because I've got all that I need right here. You don't add to. That which is perfect is come, then that which in part's done away with. And we have the perfect Word of God here today. And so we need to stay with the Word of God. And we don't need their book. We need the Word of God. And I haven't learned everything that's in it, because as I read it, I find there's something new every day. And so we have all that we need. And then also in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verses 1 through 10. And hurriedly get into this or read it here. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1. He says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. I believe we're in those last days. I don't know how far. I don't know how long it's going to be before the Lord comes back. And that don't bother me, because you don't know either. Not even the angels in heaven know. Amen. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. That's what's going on now. Without natural affection, how can a mother give birth to a child and dump it in a garbage can and walk off and not be concerned about it? Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly ungodly women laden with sin, led away with divers lust, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. They're out there. They were in Moses' day. They're in our day. And they're going to be here when we're gone if the Lord doesn't come back and take us away. Men of corrupt minds, reprobates concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, and purpose, and faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, and so on. And so in this, they're learning. But they're never coming to the knowledge of truth. And I believe we need to stand fast. We need to be steadfast in the things of the Lord. We need to remember that the Bible is the very Word of God. We don't need these translations. The Bible's our rule book. That's what we're going to be judged by. We're going to take the Word of God, and God's going to use this, and He's going to see those whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, were written there before the foundation of the world. You're not going to judge whether you're going to heaven or hell. It's already been decided. And you've been brought in time unto salvation, but the things, the way that we live is going to be judged out of this. Now, we can't change the doctrine to please our situation. And there's no need to try it, because if you change it, one person won't like it, and you change it to another, they won't like it, and so you go back and forth. Just try to please the Lord with what you know and what you do here. I believe that our King James translation is as near perfect as any translation that we have, and we don't need these new ones that are in the market today. When people leave the inspired Word of God, you'll see them go downhill. And you mark it down, you watch them, they go away from the Word of God. Churches fall and become worldly when they bring in another translation. Schools have been founded because of the teaching of the Word of God, and when they turned away from it, Yale University, Harvard University, University of Chicago, Princeton, these were founded on the Word of God. But you know what? They don't even teach it in a lot of them today. It's a shame, but they've turned away from the Word of God. In Psalms 11 and verse 3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I'll tell you what we can do. We can go ahead and preach the Word, because there's some that will stand for the Word of God. The Bible is the foundation, the doctrinal truth. It's the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction. That's all we need. We have the Word of God. It's here for us to learn. The laws of God will stand. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18 tells us this. God's laws are not going to change, even though that the world turns away. The laws of God are still going to be the same. And then also Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word's not going to pass away. It's going to be here, and we're going to have it to be taught here. And then also in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, it says this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. You don't take one verse of Scripture out and say, this is it. You take the context of it and teach the whole thing. And then it's not for you and nobody else, because the things that God has given here, it's given it to His children, and His children can learn them as we study the Word of God. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So God is the author of our book. He just used men to write down the message and deliver it unto us. And that's why He's kept it in effect and in force today, that we might have it. And I believe His Word's going to be here, even until the end time. And we need to take that. And we need to stand on these doctrines. We need to stand on the doctrine of Christ, of His virgin birth. Here a few years back, the translations that came out, their purpose seemed to be to destroy the virgin birth teaching of the Word of God. We need to recognize this. 1 John encourages us and teaches us that those that believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that you have eternal life. There are those that do not believe that and do not teach that. And he says, those that don't believe it, they have not eternal life. Amen. There's no way you can't be saved without Jesus Christ. Amen. You have to accept this and the teaching of God's Word. We recognize Him. He is God. Christ is God. He always has been. He is today. He is the Creator. He was God in the manger of Bethlehem when He walked and worked with Joseph there with Mary's husband. He was God then. And then in Matthew 17, there on the mount, He was God. He's still God, even today. And when He made the blind to see, the lame to walk, He raised the dead, and all of these things, He's God. And we need to preach this, and we need to lift up Jesus Christ. We don't need some of these teachings and these cults that are coming into our nation and building temples and mosques and things here. We need the Word of God. We don't need a religion that sacrifices human beings. And that's what's happening in our land today. And Jesus says, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Christ's birth was supernatural. And His conception, it was of the Holy Ghost. Matthew chapter 1 tells us this. Isaiah chapter 7, He prophesied that this is the way that it was going to be. And it came to pass. We need to stand for these things. We need to preach these things today. You say, but everybody knows it. No, there's very few people that do know it. And we need to preach it to them. We preach them over because we have new converts from time to time in our church, and they need to do this. There are those that say He had an earthly father. If He had an earthly father, He'd have been a sinner just like you and I. But He was without sin, and He was able to go to the cross of Calvary. And so if we have Him, we have eternal life. He, Scripture says in 1 Peter 2:24, He bare our sins on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin that we might have eternal life. He was buried, and He died. He was buried, and He was resurrected again. He's alive today. We don't need a crucifix to show us some God or somebody hanging on the cross, because our Christ is not there. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, and He's interceding for us. And the book of Hebrews tells us that He's there. He's working for us. And so in all of these, we can rejoice in this and preach it and teach it and stand for it, even though the people that we come in contact do not believe these things. And so Peter preached there on the day of Pentecost. We have the grave of David. He recorded some of the things that that had been said. He said he's not talking about David, because we have his grave here with it. But Jesus Christ, His grave is empty. The tomb is open, and Christ has gone back to be with the Father. And then there's those that bore witness of these things. We today, we need to teach these things. We need to teach the doctrines of grace. And certainly if you've been to these conferences, there's not been many, but what the doctrines of grace have been proclaimed. And we need to preach them. We need to tell them. Let people know what God has done, that He has chosen us before the foundation. He didn't look down the halls of eternity and see who was going to be saved and then say, come to Me. But before we were ever conceived, before we ever there, He chose us unto salvation. And in time, He's brought us unto the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it's all because of Him. And you read there in John chapter 6 and verse 37, no man will come to Me. He won't come because He's dead in trespass and sin. He can't come. And so the Holy Spirit has to draw. He brings us. And that's when we become the children of God, when He brings us. And man's totally depraved. Brother Harvey brought a wonderful message the other night up in Kentucky there. And I appreciated that. And that's the truth, that man is dead. There's nothing good about him there. And so we need to admonish people. We need to teach these things. Let it be known and not be afraid. Because there's a lot of people that do not believe it, and some of the greatest Protestant, no, they don't call them Protestant, but whatever they are, Southern Baptists, that they are, a lot of them, denying these truths. They help one another to get saved, and they help you to be saved and all. But Jonah in the belly of the whale, he knew that deliverance or salvation is the Lord. And I know today that salvation is of the Lord. I know from personal experience that the Lord worked in my heart. And we need to preach His church. We need to teach the local church, the visible church. We need to preach these things. A lot of people don't preach them, and a lot of them don't believe it. But it's the Word of God. And we need to teach this, His church. And His church is going to be here until He comes back. And we need not to be afraid to stand for these things. And here's another thing, the doctrines. There's only two ordinances. There's only two ordinances. There's baptism, which precedes the Lord's Supper. And it is on the authority, and this is the thing that's running around Baptists today, who has the authority, who has the right. And a lot of Baptists or so-called Baptists are accepting baptism from other denominations, and they want us to receive membership from their church. You know what'll happen if we do? I'll tell you what'll happen. It won't be long until you receive enough in there, in your number of your congregation when you have a business meeting. They may vote you right back into the Southern Baptist Convention. If we don't guard the door, if we don't stand steadfast, then you deserve what you get. And then the Lord's Supper there is for His local church. It's not for everybody. It's not for every body that's a member of the church, but those that are faithful serving the Lord Jesus Christ in this local body. Now let me give you one other word of encouragement, and I want to give you this because I believe it'll lift you up, and that's what I want to do, and that is to encourage you to stand steadfast for the things of the Lord. When David went out against Goliath, here's what he said in 1 Samuel chapter 17. And then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with sword and with spears and with shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give thy carcass to the host of the Philistines this day, unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and He will give you into our hand." And so David said, "I'm not afraid of you. I'm just out here because the Lord has put me here. I'm going to do what He tells me, and I've already got the victory over you, and I don't have anything to worry about." We have the victory here as the children of God. And why not be steadfast? Because all the world can be against us. But if the Lord is for us, who can be against us? Lord bless you.